Welcome to the official podcast of A Conscious Partner. Our initiative is bringing affordable access to relevant information for anyone in search of impactful self-development. ACP specializes in hosting growth workshops, which bring awareness to the most important topics in life. It's a place for everyone and anyone to come together with the goal of gradually culminating our own security in a fun, safe environment. And now with our hosts, Bruce Doherty, Jaggy, and Dr. Giselle Tennant, let's get into today's discussion.
All right.
Here we are.
We're back. We're here. It's exciting.
We need a drum roll.
We're excited. We come in very softly. Hello? Is anyone listening?
Is anyone there?
What's going on? Who's starting this?
Well, what's going on?
Yeah, we're going to talk about our
We need to get Ed McMahon.
Here's Ed McJohnny.
Oh, who's Ed McMahon? No, we just dated ourselves.
Yeah, we just dated ourselves. Everybody in the crowd's going, who the hell is Ed McMahon?
He used to announce Johnny Carson.
Who's Johnny Carson?
Yeah, who's the late night person. You know, before David Letterman and Jay Leno and all of these people who are doing late night.
That makes sense.
Anyway, we have no
official
Ed McMahon.
Sidekick.
We have no sidekick. We
Hello
sidekick.
And welcome to A Conscious Partner.
There we go. It's perfect.
We are here with Chuggy.
Right? All right. So we're doing...
We're going to talk about our programs
today.
Because that's exciting. Right?
Yeah, that's brand new.
Yeah, brand new.
So maybe let's talk about... Okay, well, so we have the Conscious Questions we kind of already discussed. It's our year-long program offering all of our events and it's just continued growth. But our programs are different and specific because...
Because they focus on a theme. For example, being happy, right? Some people may feel uneasy with their lives. They're not happy. They don't know why. So we help them discover what are the things that are they're doing in their lives that are like stopping them from being happy.
Right.
Right.
So but very like goal specific.
Very goal specific.
Yeah. 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 A lot of things people think being happy is, you know, a light, happy event.
It's a program of
a bunch of, you know, butterflies and rainbows. That's not what it is. Being happy is why am I not happy?
And that's probably honestly going to be probably a bigger
that's
thing to dig into.
Yeah. So the idea behind the programs then was just to focus on different themes.
Right.
So we have 9 specific programs. They're 6 weeks long. So you really get a chance to, you know, dive into it.
Right.
And look at those 6 different elements. Right. And then each element takes, you know, some time to go through. So, and I think one of the key things too is that people are together with the same cohort, like the same group of people from week to week. So they get to know each other. They feel more comfortable sharing.
Yeah. It's like you're joining a class and these are the people in your class. That's now we're all going to learn this together and then we're going to come out knowing more about that topic at the end of it.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about it in the regular events, you know, we switch topics all the time. So you're going from, you know, an awareness thing to a...
Right.
To...
Sex.
Something else. To something else. To something else.
And,
yeah, we're jumping around. Whereas now we can sit down and go, okay, everybody is here for exactly the same reason. We're all trying to understand why we're not happy or why we can't communicate well.
That's actually really nice. Because then everybody there is actually... That's what they're struggling with. They're all there for a specific reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they can share stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
that are very specific to that topic, and it's working well so far.
Well, yeah, we're just starting, but by the time these things come out,
we'll be like a month
rolling
into
the middle of it. Yeah. And but we think, and the reason I guess we started that is because people would say to us, "Well, you know, I just want the conflict one. I just want the conflict event. When are you doing that one?
6 months from now.
It'd be a long ways away." But the thing is, we're aware that they need more than the conflict event, right? They need the triggers event. They need to stop the drama event. They need all of these other things to make everything relevant. If you just take one event, it just doesn't mean much. There's not enough information.
So it comes back to that puzzle. So the full conscious quest is then giant puzzle board. But now we're actually just taking like specific areas of that puzzle. And it's like its own little puzzle that we're like, okay, these are all the areas that will be connected to this that will solve your problem in that area. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And solve might not be the right word, but certainly help you on the path.
Help you, give you the tools that you need, right?
Yeah. The tools that you need. It's so important. Your emotional toolbox. I don't think we say that enough in the podcast.
Yeah, I think what we have to focus on is there's no such thing. Everybody thinks we're going to get something to solve that I'm going to do this and it's going to solve my problem.
And it'll be gone forever.
It's, like, yeah, it's like, not that easy.
Yeah. No. It's like there's no recipe, right? People want to, okay, give me the recipe so that I can do this. And then they think they're going to do it just once and then that's it, right? But it doesn't work that
way. I was actually thinking about that the other day, like a metaphor to what we're offering here is like, would you ever get an electronic, a new electronic that you didn't know how to use? Would you ever get it and then just use it right away? Would you not like read the instruction manual? Would you not figure out how to do the upgrades? Well, whatever. I would. I'm very much so that person. But I'm trying to relate it back to the sense of like, hey, we actually have a program manual for how to function as a human being.
Yeah.
So learn how to become a good human being and learn how the process goes and how you can deal with the misfunctions and so on and so forth.
It's like learning how to drive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and 100%. If you don't, I mean, we can easily get bad habits.
Yeah.
And so...
And the difference is not a rule book, it's a guide.
Yeah.
It just says, you know, this will help you understand this. This will help you understand that.
When this emotion comes up, this is how you then process it and how you can put it away.
And this is why you're feeling that emotion.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I can't hear anymore. I think that it popped out. I don't know if it popped out.
I mean, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear
it's
good. You fine.
It's better now. Yeah, I can hear you guys, but now I can't. Yeah. So, so what's the structure of the program? So basically, people would sign up for a program, and they sign up for 6 weeks at a time. Yeah. And that's how it differs from the Conscious Quest,
right?
Where they can come to individual events, or they can sign up for a month, taking four programs, four events in a month. But this is like very, very focused. So
focused and structured around one main goal. Yeah.
How about we tell them what those programs are?
Yeah.
Sure.
So we have...
What have we got? Starting off with... I don't know where we're going to start.
Starting over...
Well, the being how we have them on the list is starting over. Starting over is the first one on the list.
Good starting over.
So that is one that we're taking post breakup.
That's right. So it's how can you turn the breakup into an opportunity? It's like into a breakthrough,
right?
And then so that you can move forward. But those six events are great that people can take
what in terms are the
of
six
letting
events?
Go. Well, it's you know what is love, letting go of the past, needs and expectations. Also, knowing how to get closure. That is
a really
good one because people realize that okay, I don't need closure from someone else. It has to come from within.
Me,
right?
Yeah, everybody says I need my partner to give me closure. I need this. I need this from my partner.
You don't need it.
And when and when we need something from somebody else. What does that mean?
You're giving them your power.
Oh, that's means right. They're in control of my happiness now.
And that's just so stupid.
Yeah. And then after that, it's, you know, how to trust again and then the power of forgiveness. That is so, so interesting and important to be able to forgive yourself.
So, but wait, you start starting over with what is love?
Yes.
That's such a good event to take post. Because you're in that event, you're going to learn if you actually loved your partner or not.
Exactly. Like,
and that's key. That's why I put it first. Because if you've just broken up or maybe it's 6 months ago, but now you're finally over the Ben and Jerry stage, then it's important to go, you know, were we really in love? Let me just determine that. And if you can determine that, you know what? This relationship wasn't the kind of love that I really wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one person who took the program and realized that what they wanted, what they were bringing to the relationship was a lot of passion and intimacy, and they were vulnerable, but their partner was not at all.
Right.
So then they realized, okay, now it makes sense. This is why, that's one of the reasons why.
That event explains a lot.
Because, you can't just measure your own. You have to measure your partner's. Exactly. You have to go, this is what I'm doing, but am I receiving it back? Does it appear my partner is as invested as I am?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in most cases, that's when you recognize, you know what, my partner wasn't doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why it's
or it's I wasn't not doing that for my partner.
Exactly.
Or I wasn't providing the intimacy or the passion.
Or obviously, I wasn't as invested as I should be or as I want to be.
Yeah,
exactly.
100%. Yeah, that's a great event.
Then you go, okay, I guess I wasn't really in love and that's not what I want. Now, another thing about the What Is Love event, I guess we're getting too far the point is everybody wants that love that has those three elements. And this comes up every time I do that event.
Intimacy, passion and commitment.
Every time I do the event, there's always avoiders in the crowd. And we're going to jump into stop the drama in a second. But if you're avoiding, and I'm the people listening, you're going to be an avoider. There's 90% of people avoid conflict, right? Because we don't want to be in it.
Yeah.
If we're avoiding conflict, then that means that we're not expressing our needs. We're not being ourselves. We're not being authentic.
That's right.
If we're not being authentic, then we're not creating an intimate connection.
No.
Yeah.
And if we're not creating intimacy,
you don't have love.
You don't have love.
It was interesting. I think it was, there was one event where someone had said to me, well, we never fought. Like, everything was fine. We never fought. And I said, well, are you still with that person?
No.
Well, there you go.
Because fights have to happen.
Of course, that's how you grow.
Well, no, but that we're going to lead into drama, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I want to... We don't need to fight.
But we can have disruptions. Disruptions.
Exactly.
You're
going to
have confusions. You're going to have things going on where you don't understand each other.
Awkward moments, misunderstandings.
Awkward moments.
Yeah.
But and once again, that's where the next program we have is called Stop the Drama, right?
Yeah.
And so many people go, I don't want to fight. Well, you don't have to fight. That's you're making a choice to fight or not to fight.
Right.
But then, okay, let's go to conflict management or conflict resolution.
Well, the resolution that they usually say.
It just that bothers me that I don't want conflict resolution. Why would I want to resolve conflict? I want to not get into conflict.
Prevent conflict.
Let's understand what we're doing before the conflict occurs and then stop that from happening.
Right. 100%.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that we don't have arguments.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to always agree on
things. That's the thing. Right? You're not going to.
Yeah. You're not going to. But how do you deal with it? Right.
How do you handle the misunderstandings?
Exactly.
When something triggers you, how are you handling your trigger? How are you handling the responsiveness? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the next program is being happy, which I think
we
started
with.
We didn't start the drama yet.
No, we kind of got into stop the drama. So what are the six events?
Yes. Well, the first one's dealing with conflict and then emotional triggers.
Okay.
Which
is a big one.
I mean, that's where I think, remember we did at the Madrose.
Yeah, it was the first
one. When we were face to face.
So we used to do live events.
Yeah.
So Bruce is my father. And at this point, we had done a bunch of events together. And we were doing the emotional trigger event at this pub. And we had developed a plan to do this skit where I was going to fake trigger during the event with all these people watching us just so that they could kind of like.
And a lot of people didn't know you were my daughter.
They didn't know I was his daughter. So, like, meanwhile, just the head guy of the event and the other helper of the event are now in a full-blown fight in the middle of the restaurant. But it was purposeful just to show people how, like, emotional triggers can cause us to react.
And we wanted them to have
the experience.
A real reaction to it, of how things can escalate.
Yeah.
Right?
And we planned our dialogue.
Yeah.
So we were triggering for very specific reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made them figure out what were the reasons we were triggering. Because now they had the dialogue. And
the whole way we do it is you kind of, like, want to work backwards. Because, like, basically one person starts a trigger and then it is the next person's responsibility to acknowledge that trigger. If they don't, then they're going to trigger, and then the next trigger, and it just keeps happening. So you kind of have to, like, take it back one by one until you can get to that
very
first
trigger. And now what we're doing is, you know, we use videos for that.
Yeah, videos are good for that.
To do the same thing.
And then the next event in that series is Curious or Defensive. Once again, life changes completely. Like, if we always get curious, life changes. It's solved. If we never get defensive.
Yeah.
As in, if we never take things personally.
And the thing
which is our world.
Which is exactly.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
It is difficult.
Right. What's well, a lot easier now, though? I don't know if you
Again, it's practice.
No, but mine has changed completely.
Yeah.
Just because I don't take things so personally anymore. But I don't know if you guys.
I never used to really take things personally.
Right.
I'm sure I did some of the time, but not most of the time. So the adjustment is a little bit easier. But still, I'm sure that there are times, though, when we get a little bit too emotional where we go back, right? So then we just have to remind ourselves to make sure that we're
being... I mean, I'm not super... Everything is night and day for me
from one
period of time in my life to now.
Like, well, that's why I just did the event last week, the four agreements, and the two big ones are don't take things personally and don't make assumptions.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny now because it's so fun after you do that event for the next five or six events, as soon as anybody says anything, you can just go, oh, are you taking that personally?
Are you
making assumptions? Are you taking it? And I've had people email me since, and at the events last week, they said, you know what? I ran into situations
in the
past week and I've stopped myself and said, am I making assumptions? Mm-hmm, am I taking things personally? And I realized I am and I don't do it and everything changes.
Yeah.
Well, in the program that I'm doing right now, there was one person who was saying, well, it's really hard not to take things personally because it's about myself. But
it's not about you.
It's not about you. It's
about,
and that's where getting curious comes in.
Yeah.
That's this whole event is about getting curious or defensive. And we'll take you through the whole process of here's this scenario.
Yeah.
This is what someone might say. What is the other version? What could they possibly do?
And you know, and it's really how people, it's almost like critical thinking, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, well, that's what it's about. It's focusing their brain because right now brains are just running rampant with no like guideline, structure, or control.
Yeah.
This is just putting those.
And if you don't have answers, your brain will want to fill in the blanks. And it will fill in the blanks with
whatever it has.
Crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it wants an answer.
Yep, 100%. Yep. Especially if you're anxious. If you're an anxious attachment style, assumptions and taking things personally is like your number one thing. Yeah.
Well, and it's more obvious with anxious, but the other ones do it too. Like as a dismissive, I'll just make the assumption that, okay, this person's whatever, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My assumption will
be I'll go
different.
To drama.
Yeah, you'll go to drama. I'll go to I'm out.
Yeah.
Where I'll go to, I want to understand. Saying that, right? So different style, right?
Yeah.
Then the next one is drama addiction. Yes. And we don't understand why we're addicted to drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a fantastic event for understanding where it comes from and how we don't see what we're doing every day that contributes to that drama that just is always
there. Is that, but victim, persecutor, rescuer?
That's a different one. That's a different one. I don't think you've actually taken drama addiction.
Really? Okay. Well, no, I think I have.
Is that,
no,
because that's then the one with the monkey.
The monkey, I don't know. Maybe
see,
not.
I don't think you've taken it.
Which
is insane because I've done like all of them, but I guess.
No, there's a couple you haven't.
Yeah, because I've just never missed it.
You've been working scheduled. And haven't been able to get out to
that's
it.
That's fair.
But there's a monkey thing in there, and I use that now for a lot of events.
Yeah.
And it's good once everybody's done that event because they know what I'm talking about. I say, are you arguing about what's really wrong or are you arguing about the monkey?
Yeah. And our audience, our listeners probably don't know, okay, what does it mean? What does it mean by the monkey?
But we can't
tell you. You're going to have to come to our event.
Not so much that. We can't get into every event. Exactly. We'll be here for 10 days.
That's right.
But we will.
Yeah,
but that's the plan for more content.
Yeah. So keep listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just kind of covering the basics right now. And then the need to be right. And I think a lot of people have that problem.
Yeah. No, the car is blue. No, the car is red. Like, no, it doesn't matter. Does it really matter what color the car is?
Yeah. Well, you remember that event. That was one of the samples. And then the last one is the victim triangle.
I think that one's changing.
I think that one is just like so... Because it's so... You can just see it when it happens. When drama happens, you can just... Okay, well, that person's that person. Yeah. That's the role I'm playing. Like, that's where it is.
Victim, persecutor, rescuer, and we go through some videos, go through some stuff, and we give everybody the right name, and then we see how inside a 1 minute clip, the roles change from victim, persecutor, rescuer like five or six times. They just go back and forth. Well. Now I'm a victim, now I'm a persecutor, now I'm a rescuer. Yeah.
And the key is that you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is the drama triangle that we're talking about. So basically, whenever we're in drama, this is the form that it's taking. Yeah.
And the example is like mom and daughter can be fighting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so one is the victim, one's the persecutor.
And then
so
dad,
then dad
comes in to
rolls in to rescue one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's say I go in to rescue the daughter.
Yeah.
And so I say to the mother... You know, why are you doing this to her?
So now you're persecuting.
So now I'm persecuting the mother. So now the mother's gone from persecutor to victim.
Yes.
And then the daughter could step in and say, no, dad, don't do that.
So
now she's the rescuer.
Right.
Now she's the rescuer.
Mom, yeah.
And then mom goes, don't talk to your father like that. So now she's the persecutor to her. And
in the meantime, nothing's getting resolved. Nothing's being accomplished.
And that's why it's called the drama triangle.
That's right.
Sorry, our dog is happy.
Bruce, I'm starting to yell whenever I yell Bruce. Bruce gets worried.
So he's been the rescuer now.
Yeah, Bruce is the pacifier, actually, is what he is.
All right. So
everybody's going, what the hell's a Bruiser?
Yeah, he's a dog.
Bruiser is a large dog.
A greyhound mix.
Now he knows. He's looking up at me. He's sitting down near me.
So that was, so we did the first one.
Starting over.
And then we did
stop
the drama.
Now
we're doing.
Now it's being happy.
Okay, that's a great one. Being happy, I think, is a great one.
Yeah.
I'm excited to do that one.
And
I would already be doing it by the time this one comes out. So, it'll be good.
And then the first one with being happy is letting go of the past.
Yeah. Right? Which is such a big one.
It is so huge for people to be able to just let go of all that garbage that they bring or they keep in their lives and in their heads, right?
I mean, I think I was a perfect example of this because I wasn't letting go. I thought I had to wear what happened to me in my life
like a badge. Right?
Yeah. And I would I remember at my worst point, I would this is my story. Hear it. Listen to me. This is everything that I've been through. Yeah. But it's just I don't why. But now being where I'm at now, holy shit, I'm so glad that that's way back when, and I'm not doing that anymore because it's you have to be able to let your shit go.
You have to. Well, you're not going to move forward.
Right? You can't learn from it. You can't grow. No. You have to be able to accept it and move on.
That's right. For me, letting go was one of the big things that it's, I can let go of my house.
Yeah.
Right? It was
what are you not letting go of? The physical items.
Right? Which, and then eventually it was it's just the house.
Yeah, right?
It's just you have the memories.
Yeah.
Right?
It lives inside of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But then the next one's even better.
Yes, it is.
Well, getting back to letting go of the past, that can be quite a triggering event.
Oh, 100%.
You
can get emotional, you can get defensive.
If you're going to come out to that event, being happy, this is literally the reasons why we're not happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're not happy because we don't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't let go because it's easier to be the victim. So if you're going to come out to the event, be prepared to not, to get it, to get called out for being a victim.
Because if we're not letting go of our past and we're allowing it to be in our present, then we are technically being a victim because we're letting
something else control us.
We're letting something control us.
Reality,
And also, if we don't let go, then we don't have to do anything, right? Because it's our badge now. This is my identity now, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have to move forward.
Yeah, this is the label that I'm hanging on to. Right. Yeah.
So I don't need to change.
Yeah, shed the labels, man.
Yep.
Second event.
Setting boundaries. So freaking important.
Yes.
Setting boundaries is probably my all-time favorite event just because it's just so important. It was important for me being the person. I was a people pleaser.
If you're a people pleaser, setting boundaries is for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the make or break one, honestly. Yeah.
That's why you're not happy is because you're not setting boundaries. You let people take advantage of you and then you resent it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be unhappy all the time.
Sweet.
Yeah. Again, my past. People-pleasing central. That's all it freaking did. And no wonder I wasn't happy.
Because you were not being yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and then I was allowing it. I thought that I was going to find value in giving myself wholly to other people. Mm-hmm. And just no matter what, just I'll be there for you.
You're looking for affirmation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought I was going to find that affirmation about you by exploiting myself to others.
Yeah.
If I sacrifice for somebody else, then they'll be my friend and I will get something out of it.
And again, attachment style also had a lot to do with that as well. But now that I know how to set boundaries, I know that I can't extend myself like that. I know that I need to have my space. I know there's things that can't talk about because it drives me nuts. I just know those things about me, and being able to set the boundaries is super important.
That's good.
Next one, self-love.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this one because it's brand new.
It's brand new.
I'm really excited. Yes. And we've been talking about doing the self-love event for forever.
And one of the key things for me is that for people to understand there's a difference between self-love and self-care.
Yeah.
Right? Because people will say, well, I have a massage, I do this, but they're not
that's
really...
not self-love.
That's not self-love.
You can still be talking to yourself on the way of the massage. Oh, you're a piece of shit. Oh, you're so lazy. You're not doing anything in your life. That's not self-love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, self-love is
I got a massage, that makes
you all zen now. It helps.
Yeah, right. Helps.
Well, and that's when... I don't know if I want to get too far into that. This goes into the yoga meditation stuff, and I've had many talks with people over the years on this. They go, well, what I do to relieve stress is I go and meditate and do yoga and nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Our point is, why don't you solve the things that are bringing you stress?
Hand in hand. Solve the things that are bringing you stressed and then go meditate and see how much better a meditative state you can get into.
The thing is, the meditation, I mean, it's going to take care of the somatic things, right? Your body, your heart rate, and all of that. So it's going to help you if you're in a conflict situation to know how to calm down. Mm-hmm. But it still doesn't take care of
the problem.
It's
just telling you to release it from your brain so you're free of it. But when you're done meditating, the problem's back and you have to deal with it, right? That's not...
And meditation is different for everyone, right? How they decide to do it. But we need to go to the root cause of things.
But self-love is do you love yourself? As in, do you talk kind? Is there kindness to yourself? Are you kind to yourself? Are you nice to yourself? Yeah. Do you say good words to yourself?
Do you think you're worthy?
Are you positive?
Yeah.
Are you looking for affirmation from somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Have you forgiven other people?
I think it's linked to self-esteem as well.
I was going to say, setting boundaries is a huge form of self-love.
Well, that's where, when you let go of the past, that's self-love. Yeah, setting boundaries, it's all self-love.
Yeah, 100%. Actions towards the protection of yourself.
Oxygen mask first, right? You put yours on first.
And then gratitude, that's going to be another big one.
Yep.
Like, once again, these are all...
They're all...
If you haven't let go, if you haven't set boundaries, if you're not practicing self-love, if you're not grateful for what you have.
Yes. Yeah.
And we run into this all the time. Instead of pining
for what you don't have.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, people are always worried about what you don't have. I mean, you're on iPhones and you have houses and you have fridges full of food and you have
healthy
children and you have cars and you have all this stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't have that video game. Oh, I don't have that TV. Oh, I don't have this suitcase. I don't know. There's cool suitcases out there.
Or that brand.
But the more grateful you are, the less you need.
Well, and that's when abundance happens. Because once you, like, literally, you could have basically nothing. But if you have the shelter, the food, and, you know.
You have your basic needs.
You have everything. You have absolutely everything. You have everything that you could possibly need. And then that's when abundance actually can happen for you. Because it's like, oh, now I have this thing too. Oh my gosh.
Because you're going to focus on here I am hitting the mic. You're going to focus on something else, right?
Well,
you can focus on what.
We're not focused on the scarcity. We're focused on.
Yeah, you don't focus on what you don't have.
What you don't have.
Focus on what you do have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, even you commented on trips. Why don't I build a life that I don't have to escape from?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. People always, they ask me, when's the last holiday? And I think last holiday when it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they go, well, how can you do that? You must be. And I'm going, well, why do I need to go anywhere? I'm happy. I enjoy my life. Yep. If I can go with the right person at the right time, fantastic, I'll go. It's not that I can't go. Mm-hmm. I just have no need to go.
Is, you can discover where you are too in the city that you are. We always think that it's like that destination addiction, that it's better somewhere else, right? And then people from somewhere else want to come where we are.
Well, that's the thing, is what Connor and I are doing is, like, we're trying to build a life that we don't want to escape from. We want to be able to live in that trailer, live that small life, be able to, like, kind of go to place, work from wherever we are. Like, we're doing that right now because we would rather just live a life that we're happy with than put ourselves in a situation that we're not happy with and then have to go on vacation.
And accumulate stuff.
Yes, and accumulate stuff. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it to a minimum. Just whatever it takes to be happy.
You don't need excess. None of us need excess.
And then the four agreements, which I just did the other day, last week, I guess.
It's a good one.
And
That's a good one.
It wakes a lot of people up.
Mm-hmm. And it's different. So, like, we're focusing on the book, but the book doesn't necessarily give you the tools to put them in action.
That's right.
So what we do is we take those core principles, and now we're giving you the steps to actually implement these four agreements into your life.
The Four Agreements is a book by Don Miguel Ruiz. And we just take the book and we just analyze every section, and we bring it up to being relevant in relationships, and also making sure it matches with all of the other events.
Yeah.
And help. Exactly. And then we give real life scenarios and say, here's an example. In this paragraph, can we spot where this person is making assumption or is taking something personally? And we show people how to do it literally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In real life scenarios. And that's what we do differently.
Well, because again, it's like the philosophy of the idea, which is what he does a beautiful job of, but we need to apply that into actual
action. How can you apply it to your life?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
How can we make it real so that we can go, okay, how do I apply this?
This is how I'm actually.
And to understand that achieving it is literally impossible.
Yeah.
Like, you'll never, ever be perfect at it, and that's okay.
But that's the whole point of what we're doing.
Exactly.
We're never going to be perfect, and growth, but we're never committed to the journey of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And then finally, the power of kindness. I did that one. I did that event.
Kindness.
I think I'm the only one that's done that event.
I was going to say, I haven't done that one either. Is it good?
It's phenomenal. Really good. Well, developing it was really good.
Yeah, no,
it's fantastic. I like kindness together. Kindness is nice.
And people realize I'm not kind.
Be kind.
No, not me, not kind. Because I'm really kind. They're not saying I'm not
kind. They're not saying you're nothing.
They're saying I'm not kind.
But not you.
But not me. Not me. Them.
Yeah. Who's on first?
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. No, they're looking at self-kindness and realize, okay, I'm not a kind person. I'm not a kind to... That's what they're saying, right? They're not kind to themselves. They're not kind to other people.
Is that how they're realizing? Because they go to a grocery store and they complain, or they're talking poorly, and or they're allowing their emotions to come out, and like, that's the kind of scenario.
I find that I can tell if someone is kind, by the way, if you go to a restaurant with them, how they treat the server. 100%. Like that's a real obvious one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bruiser agrees.
So I was being happy.
That was being happy.
Then Discover Myself is the next one. Number four.
And as we've discussed, I've discussed this live. I personally believe that if you want to grow, this is the foundation. Like, we have the foundation events, but this is the foundation of, if you want to grow, this is where you would start. These are the non-sexy titles.
Like, the six conscious principles. Like,
there's conflict, and there's emotional triggers, and they have all these sexy titles, right? Yeah, that you go, okay, I want that one. Yeah. And then you say, well, recognition, and people go, it's not really that exciting.
But if if they had listened to last week's podcast, then they would have, two weeks before.
Yeah, when we talked about the six conscious principles. Yeah, that's what it is.
And it's just those six events. Yeah. Recognition, responsibility, acceptance, authenticity, transparency, and consistency. Yeah. And almost every event now, when we go through, so how do we solve this problem? Like, because we're building the events and we look at each other and we go, okay, well, here's the problem everybody's having. Yeah. How do we solve it? And we go, it's probably the six principles.
Well, last week I did closure, how to get closure. And again, it went back to, okay,
the six principles.
It's all about the six principles, right? Yeah. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
If anybody wants to grow, and I think I described this back in that other podcast, this is the one where I discovered that this is the most powerful one. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because that's where you're going to learn to recognize. You're going to learn how to be authentic. Right? You're going to learn how to be transparent and
be consistent
and...
Well, the biggest thing is I'm looking for somebody, and everybody's, if you're single, you're dating.
Yeah.
Right, and you're looking for somebody who recognizes their own flaws, recognizes their own stuff, takes responsibility for it, doesn't blame others, not a victim, right? Accepts who they are, accepts who you are, accepts where they're at in life, and goes, you know what? This is where I'm at, and I want to move forward from here. Mm-hmm. Would you like to join me in that journey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and then are they authentic? Mm-hmm. Can they be authentic?
That's right.
Are they transparent and are they consistent? Do the words meet the actions and the actions match the words?
Yeah, the effort that you put into it.
So if I'm looking for that...
What are they looking for?
If you're looking for that, you got to be what you're looking for. Yeah. It's kind of like the golden rule, right? Like, you got to treat people how you want to be treated. So you got to be the person that you're looking for.
Be the change.
Yeah, be the change that you want to see, 100%.
And those are all the standard sayings, and we're trying to just go, okay,
this is actually how you do it.
What does it look like in real life, right? Instead of just a quote on your wall.
Exactly. Because that quote ain't doing nothing.
Nope.
No offense.
The quotes are great affirmations that make you feel good for 20 seconds, then you walk out the door
and
you
start, shit happens.
You start making mistakes again, and you start being the victim.
Screaming at your neighbor, right? Exactly. And next one is clearly speaking.
So it's a communication one.
Yeah, it's all about communication, right?
And a lot of people have communication issues.
Yeah, no. People will say...
No? Oh, you're being sarcastic.
He's being sarcastic.
He's being a sea fish. A facetious sea fish. I don't know.
What the hell is that?
So with clearly speaking...
A facetious sea fish?
Seashell sea whatever that is. What people usually say, well, communication is key in a relationship, right? But we don't know how to communicate, right? And how are we going to be effective
and assertive? And everybody says, but I'm a great communicator.
No,
and we're not assertive communicators, and we're not active listeners. So it's all of those events that are really necessary so that we can become effective communicators.
Well, and most people don't realize you're not communicating if you're not vulnerable. You're not communicating if you trigger. You're not communicating if you get mad. You're not communicating if you're not authentic.
Or if you're not
communicating
if you're
avoidant. Or if you're defensive.
I was going to say, maybe you're really good at being authentic and getting your point out, but maybe you're also yelling and, being a bully while you're doing it.
But authentic means doing it based on your core values and what your goals are.
So they wouldn't technically be authentic.
So if you're yelling and screaming, I'm going to guess that's not one of your core values.
I don't want to be a dick to my partner.
Exactly, and that's the manner in which you're doing it. Because if you're, like you said, yelling and screaming, the person is just going to hear yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
They're not going to hear
your
message.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But active listening is a huge part of communication. Is that in there somewhere?
Well, it's in the communication. That's the first event.
Yeah, which is the first event is communication. Okay.
Communication. So we kind of go through that first. Mm-hmm. We get you understanding what communication is.
Right.
And then vulnerability.
And then we go into the power of vulnerability. And that's why we put that one second. Because if you're not being vulnerable, you're not really communicating.
No. Yeah.
And this happened this week, actually, in the impact of porn event. It happened a couple times like in the same way. Mm-hmm. So it was quite interesting to talk about, because if you're a lot of people, when they're having a discourse of some kind, they'll ask the person a pointed question. Like in this situation, yeah, it's a trap question. Okay. But in this situation, what it was a woman had found some porn sites on her husband's computer. Mm-hmm. And that was the scenario we were going through. Mm-hmm. And she was offended by the content that she didn't go look at it. She just saw the titles. And we were presenting a scenario, and then we were going through a bunch of stuff, and I asked everybody in the group, I said, so what's the first question that she should ask him? And everybody naturally kind of started falling towards, or what do you guys think they would fall towards? Why is this here?
Right.
Do you want me to do these things for you?
Right.
Like, because he was looking at a dominatrix kind of situation is what the website titles
were. Right.
And they just went straight to, he probably wants me to do this. That's why this isn't going to work.
Right.
And this it was perfect because it came just after the four agreements. Mm-hmm. So I let them go on their answers. And then I said, okay, is that not taking it personally
and making assumptions?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So wouldn't the question be then, why are you... Why are you watching this?
And that's right. That's what a lot of people then go to. So they would go to their husband and go, why are you watching this? Yeah. And that is a trap question.
That's right.
It's a trap because you're not being vulnerable and putting your opinion on the table first.
Right.
So that your partner has an idea what your direction is.
They would say, okay, well, I'm feeling a little bit anxious that I found this. Just, I think I'm triggering or like you're acknowledging your emotional state.
Tell me more about it. Right?
Yeah, please.
But I want to go back to the trap question because people don't understand the trap question. It's a trap question because if you just say, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Then I don't have your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which way to go to control the situation and make sure that I don't, you know, we don't end up in a fight.
So the person's going to be afraid to be vulnerable and
say because at that point they're already hiding it from you.
So vulnerable is, you know what, I'm really anxious about this. It makes me feel disconnected. I'm happy. I'm not upset that you're doing it. I would just like to understand why.
Yeah.
So now I've put myself out on the table.
So then they already know how you feel about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now it gives them the opportunity.
That's what vulnerability is.
And also it's about you.
Right.
It makes it about you because you're
not
being vulnerable.
It's not to a degree.
You're not accusing the person. Yeah. You're not. Yeah.
So that's how to make it not a trap question. But then the next step is, and then I said, what's the ideal question you should ask? Somebody's hiding something, and you found it. Most people would do what? Most people would go, what is this crap on your computer? Why is it there?
Yeah.
And now we're fighting.
Mm-hmm. So is it like, why did you feel the need to hide it?
That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah.
Like, why? Absolutely. Am I doing something wrong that you think that you can't communicate these things with me?
Exactly.
Yeah,
what is wrong in our relationship?
That you can't trust me with this.
That you wouldn't trust me. That why? Yeah. And then as we go through the story, you realize because she did not handle it well, that's why he's keeping it
hidden.
That's
right. Because he knows it's going to...
Right.
And, come to the event, and we'll explain the whole situation. And by the end, everybody's going, oh, crap, no wonder. This is not as complicated as we thought it was.
Right.
And that's the purpose of what we do at the events, is we help people struggle with real-life situations.
Because that will happen, probably.
And it happens because we've been pre-programmed for things like that. You know, it's like the kid in the cookie jar, right? You know, you want to protect yourself. And it's like, you know, did you take the cookie?
Right.
When you have cookie crumbs all over you're like,
I didn't take
the cookie because you don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
It would have been a different setting if you ask a different
parent.
So vulnerability is a complicated subject. Mm-hmm. And once you go through the event, you go, oh, I'm not being vulnerable.
Right.
That's my problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're not vulnerable, you're not authentic.
Right. And if we're not authentic, we're probably doing a lot of shit wrong in our life.
Yeah.
And wrong isn't the right word.
But things that
providing
are
providing, or it's
we're not helping ourselves. We're getting in our own way of our own happiness.
We're feeding the wrong wolf.
And the question is like, why can't we be vulnerable?
Right.
And then the next one's curious defense. We've been through that because we threw that one. And that's what's so important. Like, curious defensives in stop drama, because it's important there, mm-hmm. but curious defensives also important in communication.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And it's so that's in here too. And that way, you, if you've taken one, it doesn't hurt to take it a second time.
And sometimes with different lenses. Right?
Yeah. Because you have different groups, you have different hosts, you have
different focus, and it will
100%.
Help. Yeah. And then the next one is, it's not about
the nail. Everybody goes, most people look at that title and go, what the heck is that?
What the hell?
It's a video.
Yeah, there's a little video on the internet. It's called Not About the Nail. It's a 2-minute video. And if you watch the video, it's, first of all, hilarious. And it's very classic, a classic fight situation.
It's used a lot,
And what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, they'll go one side. Most people, I'd say about 80% of people kind of favor the guy's side in that video. And about 20 on the woman's side.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both wrong.
Well, I mean, when we were developing, we really looked at all of the aspects of the video.
That took a long time to develop that one.
Yeah, we took a lot of time to look at it on, you know, not just about what the guy is saying and then, or what the girl is saying.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, why?
And why are they saying it?
Why are they saying it?
Yeah.
Right. And we got curious.
Got curious and analyzed this.
Because if you go online and look at the analyze, like a lot of people have analyzed the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we went online and we looked at it and we said, okay, they've said this, this, and this. And then we looked at it and went, well, okay, but they're saying doing this here, but that contradicts authenticity. It contradicts transparency. It contradicts recognition and responsibility. Everything that they suggest about the video saying this is what this person needs to do to solve this problem contradicted everything event else. We've built.
Right.
So we're saying that's wrong.
And it's because it doesn't go in depth, right? It's just a blanket statement. It really doesn't help.
It just deals with in the moment.
It doesn't give you any tools to really deal with it.
Real quick, just because I'm thinking about it because we're talking about male and female. I don't think we ever stated this in the podcast before, but we focus on the hetero female and male scenarios because that's the generalized most common, that's the information available. No matter what way you gender identify or what way
floats your boat,
that you just have to take away the messages from it and apply it to yourself.
Yeah, we do it because it's a little easier to identify the people in stories if it's...
And there's not a lot of research done on
exactly.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. So I just want anybody who's listening, in any other direction, it's totally, these lessons are still for you.
Yeah. No, we have a number of gay people, a number of lesbians. They come out all the time. And so, this information is good for everybody.
Yeah. 100%. All right. Next one.
Well, this is boundaries.
We've talked about boundaries.
So, yes. Yeah. Yeah, we're good. Good on that one. That makes sense for communication, setting boundaries. Yeah,
so, and how do you communicate those boundaries? Right?
Yep.
Then can we talk is the last one.
Yes.
That's
That's a new one. I kind of like
that one's going to be fun to do.
It's going
to
be,
And it's a play on word of can we talk. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, anytime somebody looks at you and says, can we talk?
You're going to be instantly anxious.
You're instantly triggered, instantly anxious. You know, what's going on?
Or would you say, you know, how are you? I'm fine. It's one of those things.
But can we talk is about if you want to talk to your partner about something, these are the mistakes you'll make, and this is how we should do it.
How to approach
all of this stuff, the different ways you approach different kinds of people, the different ways
so that they're not defensive when you want to talk to them.
100%.
They're going to be more open.
So, like, if you're dating an introvert who's out in public and you have something to say critiquing them per se, don't say that out in public because that's probably going to make them feel extremely uncomfortable.
And so, like, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Right. 100%.
And just how to say things.
Right.
And we'll put real life scenarios in place and go, okay, how would you approach this?
I have trouble with that. Yeah. Like, I have things that I want to say, but then I always forget how to say it properly. I always will say it. I'm like, shit, that didn't come out right at all.
Well, that's not as bad, though, as not saying it at all.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is a stepping stone. Now I'm actually saying it, but now I also have to
refine the process. And then there are certain things, like, even if the person is not an introvert, if it's your partner, that you would not want to out that person right in front of a group, right? If there are things that you have between yourself that you need to work on,
it's not a group setting, because
they will not want to have that conversation when you get home, right? Because you're already
theoretically, is the last event in that group, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the time you've taken all the other events, this will just kind of happen naturally,
it'll just fade into place.
What's next?
Spoons and forks.
I like that title. Name.
Yeah, spoons and forks,
and it's all about understanding each other, right? Which is the first event.
Yeah, we're spoons and forks. We're just we're just different.
Yeah,
that's okay.
And also understanding life is not easier for the other person. We always think that the other side, oh, well, you have it easy because you're a man, et cetera, et cetera. Or you have it easy because...
Now, you've done run recently, Caitlin. Yeah. Or Jaggy. I don't know what to call
Jaggy.
I'm still going to call you Caitlin.
That's fine.
That's the name I gave you.
Yeah, basically. Everyone else knows me as Jaggy. It's okay.
But you've done that recently and...
Which?
The understanding each other.
Yeah.
Remember, that's the one where... once again, people think that one side is easier than the other side. And it turns out it's not.
It's not.
No.
Yeah, that was an eye-opener, too.
Well, it's just, we all, that's the thing, is about understanding all people's is like, no matter what, even if that person looks like they have it nice and they have everything, they have their own battles that they're dealing with that you don't know about, like, at all points. Everyone has their thing.
There's another side, right?
Yeah, there's always another side.
So you can say, like, a woman can say, well...
I don't like being a sex object.
Yeah, or I have, you know, my biological clock is ticking, right? Mm-hmm. But then the man can say, yeah, but I have no choice. You know, I have no say in whether or not...
I get to have children.
If I get to have a child.
I don't have control over it.
I have no control over that.
Right.
Right? So there's always...
There's a flip side to every problem that you have.
That's right.
If we're talking about genders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every problem that you have, the other gender has a different problem that probably balances it out.
And I think that's the key. It's different.
Right.
Right? So, because people think that, well, it's easier for you. No, it's just different. Mm. Right? And it doesn't mean that it's harder, that it's not hard for me or it's not hard for you, but it's just different.
I understand all yours. That. Just it would help if you understood all mine, and we could stop comparing. We could stop trying to have a contest here about who's has it tougher.
Yeah.
Because we're all just here struggling to get through life, hopefully trying to find happiness somewhere.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, and I think another thing that we want to help people understand as well is sometimes we tend to minimize what the other person is going through, or we tend to, you know, all women are crazy or all men are jerks, right? We generalize.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be doing that.
No, not at all. Yeah. Across all things, we shouldn't be doing that.
Well, women are pretty crazy.
I mean, I can admit that as much as well. I feel crazy a lot of the time.
But we bring so much
light and energy.
Exactly.
And I guess for anybody listening, if you're coming out to events, especially coming to my events,
we can joke.
You're going to get a lot of funny and sarcastic comments, and we have fun.
The
whole goal of this is to have fun. Like, I'll say 100 times during an event, women are crazy, and everybody laughs, and we move on. And then somebody will say something about men, and we go, this is a relaxed environment. Like,
exactly.
We're not
taking things personally, so we're allowed to make jokes.
Yeah. And that's what's the nice thing after that
and
event.
And we don't get offended.
Yes. Yeah, I know, right? Because now you can actually say things people like. That's if they do trigger, it's like, oh, I took that personally.
You took that personally.
Or you say, are you making an assumption?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And actually, it's kind of interesting. It was just on TV the other day, and the Olympics are going on right now. Mm-hmm. So when people listen to this, it will be after the Olympics. But one of the announcer said, well, you know, this guy right before his race, he's texting, but he's looking at his phone and he's probably answering his messages. And I'm like, that's making an assumption. Who knows what he has on his phone?
Maybe he's typing out his stats.
Could be an affirmation on his phone. It could
getting
be,
a thought,
you know,
could be weather. It could be something from his coach. It could be
looking for the right song.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was really interesting. I'm thinking, you're making an assumption. You have no idea why he has his phone out.
Yeah.
So that's what the media does. Yeah.
And there's the sarcasm. Yeah. This is how much fun we have. Next one is swipe right.
We haven't done this one yet, have we?
We just did understanding
each other.
Oh no, we're in understanding each other. Why
we're
do we keep jumping?
And forks, but we don't keep jumping. You just jumped.
So we did understanding
each other. Now we're into why we cheat.
Why we cheat.
That's a big
one. That's a really
good
one.
And that actually comes up big in the porn event that I just did, is because when we look through all of the things that happen as sex frequency decreases, and you look at all of the side effects of that, you get into the rejection, the emotional connections lost, you get into all these other things. And when we do the why we cheat event, it's pretty clear people don't cheat because of sex.
Yeah,
it's and everybody thinks it's about sex. It's not about sex.
Well, even in the What We Want in Bed event this week.
Oh, yeah, you just did that.
And I mean, it's not about
sex. I guess we didn't really get to talk about that. Like, your age group, did that make sense to them?
Yeah. And it was, again, that's such a powerful event because, again, sex is so misjudged and misvalued in our current society, and its representation is it's still taboo, even though it shouldn't be. Like, and I don't know. I just like the one video where it's like, war was avoided because we have no sex arguments or whatever. Like, if everyone was having sex and we were all looking for that mental and emotional connection, then the world would be like a peaceful place. And it's like, well, yeah, that's probably the case, but we're like denying people sex and denying their sexualities and so on and so forth. Like, just doesn't make sense. And it's a good event.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how powerful that would be for your group, right? It was a good one.
100%. Of course, it's powerful.
Yeah, and
our sex ed education is sucks. Don't have sex.
Exactly.
You have sex, you're gonna get an STI or you're gonna get pregnant. Like, exactly. Sweet. Okay, right? So now I'm going into sex with people not knowing
anything.
And then you get teenagers are getting pregnant because they they're not talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not understanding.
Yeah.
Well, sex is turned into, especially with all, and that's where the porn event is so important.
Porn event's very important too. Yeah.
And people go, I don't want to go to porn event. Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful.
It's just powerful.
That's right. Because it's not about promoting.
No, it's about talking.
We're going understanding porn. But every person I went through it this week, they all went, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. And one lady, we were on the event and we had the break in the middle. And she came back late. And she had, she said, sorry, I got in a conversation with my daughter. And we went another minute or two. And then there was... something happened. She got a chance to talk. She said, I just want to let you know that I asked my daughter, or my daughter saw me on the computer, and she said, what are you doing? And I'm doing this porn information event. She said, well, why are you doing that? And so she kind of started talking about it, and she asked the daughter, you know, where do you get? She's, I get all my information from TikTok.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I don't know enough about I don't know enough about what information are you getting on TikTok?
Information on sex.
So much stuff on TikTok on every.
Well, about what imagine. Could you possibly find out on TikTok?
Well, there's some really good mental health TikToks that are coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's like things that you should watch out for. Make sure you have safety words. Make sure you use protection. Make sure, I don't know, they have like that type of variety of stuff on TikTok.
It doesn't get down into the mentality of it like we do.
No, it doesn't. No.
But she had never once talked to her daughter about porn. So here she's taking the porn event. She's on the break. She's got the first half of the information. Yeah. And then she started talking to her daughter. She realizes now her daughter's getting information from TikTok.
Yeah,
and now she's going, maybe I should have a talk with my daughter about this. But now she's empowered because she has some information. She knows the downside of it. She knows what to look for. She knows the signs of somebody that might be using porn.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows how important if she has maybe, and I think she had a daughter, but if she had a son, 18-year-old son,
it would be
she would go, okay, now I know what to watch for. And after this event, so many people have come to me, can you do this for my teenage boys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, even when I did this event a few months back, there was a lady, she's in her 40s, and she was like, well, I'm really shy, I don't want to talk about this, right?
Yeah.
But then it was a real eye-opener for her. She's like, wow, there's so much that I didn't know.
And she realized it's that it's information okay to talk about.
It's just information.
I don't know how God talked. Well, I guess why we cheat.
Yeah, why we cheat.
So we're saying that why we cheat.
It's not about sex. And also, it's not about the other. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. It's about the other person.
Why we cheat is so important. Yeah. Yes.
Well, really it's because you've lost an emotional connection.
That's right.
And we're searching for an emotional connection. And we can get it briefly in an affair. Without having to make commitment. That's the whole point.
And that's why affairs don't last.
That's right. And that's why affairs, they go along. And then if anybody gets divorced in the affair, then suddenly the other person abandons it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're going, well, no, I didn't want a commitment. I just wanted the sexual release or the connection.
The escape or
whatever
distraction.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I know, but the big one with why we cheat is take responsibility, because unfortunately cheating does happen, and it doesn't mean you can't place all the fault on them. Like, they took the action, but unfortunately you played a role in them taking that action.
Well, that's what I say. Cheating is...
it's a two-way street.
It's step number 78.
Right.
Yeah.
Before
somebody cheats,
77
other things happen. Yeah,
but I think distrust, this disruption...
it's so much easier, though, for the person to not take responsibility and...
Victim!
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Victimhood. You did this to me.
My partner cheated, and now everybody gives me sympathy, and everybody gives me
all this. And now we're not letting go of our past because we were cheated on, and that's the label we wear.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So in case you haven't guessed it, folks, you're not getting a lot of sympathy.
That's right. So you're having a little pity party, we're not helping you.
This is more of a tough love type of program. Yes. This is, we're going to wake up. We're going to take responsibility. Changes, yeah. I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm going to empower myself.
You're taking charge.
Yeah. I'm going to take, this is self-esteem building. This is what we're doing.
We're not here to
pat you on the head and say, yes, you're a fantastic person. And
we're not here for just affirmations. Thank you for sharing your story, so on and so forth. We're like, okay, get over your story. Tell me what you learned from your story, and let's see where we go from there.
And the next one is a fun one.
Which one?
But we're just friends.
We're just friends.
You know how we say that.
Oh, that one. Yeah,
we're just friends. Something for lunch with, you know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, again, that would always trigger me too. Well, again, that emotional cheating or mental or whatever the heck. Yeah.
And there's, once again, we're not, there's everybody, you know, men and women can't be friends. That's out there, right? Everybody kind of hears that saying, and then usually,
we're just friends.
Let's just go percentages. Let's say 75, 80% of women say, of course, men and women can be friends. And 99.98% of men say, no, they can't.
No, they can't.
Right.
Well, maybe not 90, maybe a little high.
We're making up the numbers, but we know that most of the time.
Let's go with 95%.
Yeah.
But I think that the one video in that event of the gentleman later on, I think the last video we show in that event, and he talks about how, like, I mean, yes, he does have people in his life who are females, who are friends, but guess what? His primary numero uno is his partner.
Exactly.
And, like, she will always come first. There's nothing that is hidden about that relationship. That all the other relationships are, like, you know, part of their relationship. Like,
well, also that the idea is that my wife can have a friend of the opposite sex, not a big deal, as long as that guy can interact with me sincerely,
right? And you know about it.
I know who he is. He can interact, he can walk in and say, how you doing?
There's respect,
there's everything there, right? But if it's hidden, if there's anything hidden,
are you not sharing what you're saying? Are you excited to see him or your other person, and you're not telling your partner that, or that's like, I don't know, like,
or even the term that sometimes people use, you know, this is my work husband or my work wife. It's I think that there's some
danger fairly
in that.
Messed up, like, what do you mean, like, that's your work wife, like, you're so you're doing all of the mental and connections, mental and emotional connections that you would have with your partner, because it's just not the physical one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, like, set up for a disaster, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we shouldn't be using
emotional connections. So vital in a relationship. And if we're getting our emotional needs met somewhere else, that's a problem.
Right.
Unless we all know what's going on.
Yeah. Unless we're all
aware of it. Once again, as long as we're all aware of it, and we've all accepted it, and we've all talked about it, and it's out in the open.
Yeah.
Okay. And once again, and we also have to look at this from the perspective of, there's polyamorous relationships.
Yeah.
There's kinds of different relationships out there.
But it all just depends, again, awareness and communication.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so if you're in that vein, you're welcome to come out. These tools are all for
all
you,
for
too.
Maybe. Yeah.
And then now there's people going, now all of this, the straight heteros are going, well, is it polyamory? What is that? And what's that? Yeah. Now we're over into the sex IQ event.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we need to understand that this stuff isn't scary. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
It's not just scary. Let's just talk about it. Let's understand it.
Yeah.
Same as with porn. Everybody's scared of porn.
Why?
And this, then, and I said, you don't have to be scared of it. You need to understand it.
Yeah.
And so many,
it was hidden.
I got an email here from somebody from the Czech Republic who comes out. And she said, you know, I now understand the way I was judging all this stuff before I understood it.
That's right.
And I was judging people for what they were saying. And she says, I realize now I have to do that differently.
Those who judge don't understand. Mm. Those who understand don't judge.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one. Should I sacrifice?
No,
you should never.
You should never sacrifice.
No, we should not sacrifice.
You literally can't forego.
If you're saying the word sacrifice,
it's automatic. Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, because there's resentment. It's not something you want to do.
When you think of sacrifice, you think of, like, you know, killing something.
Somebody throwing something to a volcano.
So you're literally, so when you sacrifice something for a relationship, you're literally killing it and giving it away versus choosing to forego it. Okay, I'm gonna actively put this over there because I'm focused.
Because I want to.
I want to. It's my choice.
If something goes wrong, I'm not going to hold it against my partner because I made the choice.
Because imagine if you're saying you're killing something inside of you, right? And that's the worst feeling.
That's what leads to resentment. That's what leads to unhappiness.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and so many people, they say, well, I just despise this when people say, well, every
love
relationship requires sacrifice.
No, ma'am.
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
there should be no sacrifice. There should be no difficulty. Because it should not be difficult.
But, I mean, even think when you were a child, when you know, if your parents ever said to you, well, after all I sacrificed for you, like, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, that doesn't make you feel good. It's like, well, I'm sorry. Thinking,
and you're like, yeah.
Well, then why did you have me there?
Why did you do it? Yeah, exactly. I didn't ask for you to do that. So why are you sacrificing? Yeah.
So the word sacrifice has to be taken out of your vocabulary when you're using it, talking about your relationship or your job or your happiness.
Or just understand if you're using the word sacrifice that maybe you're not too happy about what you're sacrificing.
Exactly. That means there's something else is wrong.
Going against your core values.
Yeah, you're going against your authenticity. Yeah, if you're saying, I'm going to sacrifice. No different than if you, somebody says, okay, let's say you're a married couple and one of you gets a job in another town. And you go, okay, I guess I have to sacrifice my career.
As opposed
to... And as soon as you say, I sacrifice, what's going to happen is you're going to move to the other town.
Nothing's going
to
happen
5 years from now is going to... Something's going to change. Maybe you'll get divorced.
Yeah.
Or maybe your partner will start having trouble. And you say, I sacrificed my career for you.
And this is what you're doing.
Yeah, it's like you're holding it over them.
But chances are that resentment is what's caused the breakup in the first place.
Yeah. And I mean, it happened to me in the sense that we left a city to come here to Calgary, and I didn't feel it. I thought, oh, it's a new adventure, but I did have to, you know, stop my job, everything that I was doing, but it was like, okay, now this is a new adventure that we're doing together, it was a choice, so I didn't feel like I was sacrificing.
So we're at an hour.
Well, we're not. We've been talking too long.
I know.
We didn't do this very well.
That's right. We've got two more.
We're too excited.
But we can start talking about subjects and we jump into them.
I know. So excited. And this is how much fun you guys are going to have when you.
So wait. So we come to our events. We have.
We're about halfway through. So.
So are we? Did we?
Are we at six?
Nine. Yeah. Six of nine.
We could zip through the last three.
But we still have two events. I mean, two events on the spoons and forks, right?
Okay, so the next two events.
I regret taking too long to take this section of the podcast. I regret that.
That's right. And emotional abuse.
Emotional abuse.
So the next event was regret.
What we regret.
And then the next one is emotional abuse, which is another big one.
Emotional abuse, and that's why I put that one last, because we want people to kind of start getting emotional abuse.
All right, this is spoons.
This is about understanding each other. And emotional abuse will take you down the road of a lot of people aren't aware that they themselves are committing the emotional abuse.
Just so you know, people pleasing can be emotional abuse as well.
For sure it can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People pleasing is emotional abuse.
Yes. Okay. Well, I was going to say that, but I wasn't quite sure. But yes, I agree.
And it's really 100%. Hard to detect sometimes, right? For some people, they might not understand, be aware of it. So we make them realize that I'm doing consistency next week.
And one of the little sections is inconsistency emotional abuse. As in being inconsistent with your behaviors. As in one day I'm happy, the next day I'm sad.
What's going on? 100%. Yes, 100%.
That's a form of emotional abuse. If you're pouting one day, if you're excited the next day.
And you're not communicating about it.
Yeah.
You're just like choosing to act this way.
And that's the awareness we need to bring to this is a lot of people think, well, no, I'm doing this and all I'm doing is acting like this. Well, guess what? That's what emotional abuse is.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do we got next?
The next program. So that was Spoons and Forks. Yeah. Now we're doing Swipe Right,
which is when we're ready to date again.
So what do
we need to know, right, when we're ready to date again?
Right.
What are the things?
So everything about yourself and what you're looking for.
Exactly. So you need to know your attachment style.
Yep.
You need to know, again, vulnerability.
Yep, vulnerability is a good one.
It's important, the power of vulnerability, and also the 8 connections.
Right.
And so people can go back to what we did before. It was actually the last episode. Yep. Yeah.
Well, the 8 connections are the 8 ways we should be connected in a relationship.
Lifestyle, sexuality.
Chemistry,
physical connection, spiritual. Yeah.
We're all talking. Everybody, they probably didn't hear any of that. Like, we're all talking over each other, saying different names.
They'll figure it out.
Anyway, the 8 connections are on the website. Right. That is, and we did a whole podcast just on the 8 connections.
Right. Yeah.
So it's such a vital part of every relationship.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you're starting to date. And then
we're doing
the spiritual connection. So we're taking
specifically.
Well, we got relationship killers in there that you missed.
And relationship killers as well. Yeah.
And then if you're starting to date, you got to be able to look for these killers and go, okay, if I start doing this, I might as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stop myself.
So that's a good one.
And so, we go through the spiritual connection, which is one of the 8, and we go through the emotional connection.
So it's really about knowing what you want and being able to see it.
And what you're looking for.
Recognize it, what you're looking for, and know what you want in your
relationship. So again, taking it and then applying it to real life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
What's the next one?
Before we commit.
Okay, so that's...
So after you're dating...
And
you now we're dating somebody and we're 6 months in and we're going, oh, I really like this person. Maybe, maybe we should move in together.
Right. We want to like commit to a bigger thing.
It also could be that there's somebody, depending on the age group, like the older people will have a different spin on this than younger people because you're going to be young and maybe you're engaged.
Right. Yeah. Before you get married or before.
Just think about this. And if there's any parents listening and you've got kids out there who either they found their perfect match and you're looking going, oh my goodness, honey, you're making such a big mistake. Or, you know what? You can't say that out loud, right?
That's right.
But what you can do is say, you know what? I'll support this wedding. I'll support this relationship if you just take these six events. Take this little program.
It's like marriage prep, essentially.
It is like marriage prep.
It is what it is, except we're going to give you the real marriage prep. We're not going to give you the
butterfly and daisies marriage
prep. That's right. We're not going to sugarcoat this.
Be submissive and do everything that you're...
And when you see the titles here, you'll get it, right? Yeah. Like the first one is communication.
Right. So
big we're going to go through what is communication, and they're going to learn so much from that. And then they're going to get dealing with conflict.
Right. So handling conflict.
Okay. Now we're going to get a whole bunch from that. And then destination addiction is in so many people... that event is so many people get, I'm going to be happy once I get married. I'm going to be happy once I have kids. I'm going to be happy once this happens. I'm going to be happy here. And then they get to 50 years old and they're going, you know what? I've done all these steps. I've never been happy.
And then now they have to go to the program being happy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So the destination is about understanding, let's be happy now and let's make sure we're living for today. Plan for the future and make do the right steps. Yeah. But make sure you're happy today because
what you have.
Yeah.
So many times we're living so far in the future that we're never happy.
We forget our present moment.
And then we've got the but we're just friends in this one.
Again, right. Which is really important to know.
Yeah. But if you're a young couple, especially.
It's really important to know.
So valuable.
Yep.
Yeah,
this would just be a monster event. And then we go through in the sexual connection because that's what everybody should know. Yep, that's right. And then we put in the five love languages.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so that's just analyzing the book, helping everybody understand what all this means, helping everybody go, oh, okay, I see what I'm looking for. I now know what they're looking for. I understand a little more about how to do it.
The thing is, they might realize that, you know what? Maybe this is not the person for me.
Well,
isn't it better to realize that before it happens? It's scary, but it's better to know it before you get into it.
Before you have this big old wedding and you like live your life you for 20 years and be unhappy
move in
the whole time.
Or buy a house or,
or make some big
what
step.
I think is that people get so much more excited about the wedding, the reception part of it, as opposed to the relationship, right?
They're not. That's the thing. Most people aren't celebrating the relationship. They're just celebrating the fact, oh, it's my turn.
I get to have a big party.
So think of ACP as a wedding planner for your relationship instead of the wedding.
Again, if you're just getting ready to move in, just understand these things. Yeah. These are really the basics.
Yeah, it's just basic information.
This is like the foundation. You should take the foundation events too, but these ones before we commit is just kind of a program. You can buy it for your kids. It's not expensive.
Mm-mm.
It's 6 weeks. It's 15 hours of just understand some stuff before we get too far into this.
Yeah.
So well, I think still it's very
like
each other.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, when we can still talk about it and then we have a foundation to build the
Probably will go wrong.
Yeah, they're gonna go sideways, but now you've got a little bit of information.
We know that there will be disruptions. And the last one is spot the enemy.
Which is Giselle is doing that one.
On August 18th she's starting, but this one will be out after that.
Spot the enemy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really about we sabotage our relationships, right? Mm-hmm. It's with our patterns, all of the things that we do when we are our worst enemy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't recognize that. And I think that's one of the key things. We want people to recognize what are all the things that they're doing that's going to sabotage their relationships. Right?
Right.
And some of the things we're looking at
It's also about being able to recognize patterns in others that are going to be unhealthy. And let's be aware of them so that we can, once they pop up, we're not confused and we can notice that red flag sooner.
Right, because you're not, because sometimes people say, well, how come I'm always in the relationship with the same kind of people, right? And those people are not good for me.
Yeah.
Right? So why? Why are we doing
your
that?
Pattern,
so that's your pattern.
And that's
why do you have that pattern?
That's the responsibility event where the guy who had the hay bale dropped on him. Is that video?
Mm-mm.
Because he talks about taking responsibility of his life.
Well, responsibility is
Yes. So, responsibility. Sorry, I don't know.
That's not in here.
No.
But it's.
Yes.
But the connection. What were we just talking about?
Because we're talking about patterns, right? Recognizing your patterns.
So taking responsibility for the fact that you've been choosing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is my pattern that is causing me to choose the wrong person every time?
Because as we say, right, you're the common denominator in all of your relationships, right? So what are you doing?
Then the second one is people pleasing, right? It's such a powerful... I remember that one lady, and you knew I'm talking about yourself. She said it was in the group of four for the month.
Yeah.
And she said, you know what, I don't need this. Why do I need to? I'm not a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And she came out to the event and she was almost crying. She went, oh my God, I'm a people pleaser.
The funny thing is that everybody in her circle knows that she's a people pleaser, but she didn't realize she realize that she was.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, the whole point of the events is it's an opportunity for you to recognize it within yourself so that you can change your patterns. Because a lot of us go through life not understanding that we're that kind of person.
And that's the light bulb moment here is recognizing, and a lot of people get. And I have to always tell people, this is not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing to recognize.
This is not a bad thing you're discovering. This is a
holy moment if you can realize something about yourself.
Yeah, and you can go, my goodness, now I understand why I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. So now I can make some adjustments.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now you're in control to make adjustments. Mm. Like you can't, again, if you don't know something's wrong, you can never fix it.
You can change it. Exactly. Yeah. The next one is gaslighting.
That's a big one.
That's a really big one.
Isn't that amazing how every event we go,
we get all excited about.
Yeah, you can see us get all excited about
them. That's right.
And we've done them how many times now?
I will do them for the rest of my life and be completely content, honestly. Like, they're so pivotal in all ways, all forms, always.
Always learn a little bit each time, right?
Yep.
And gaslighting a lot of people. Like we not only are gaslit, we also gaslight.
Just as much.
And it's so important to recognize when you're doing it. Because I can't control when somebody else does it. I can recognize it and then make adjustments. But what I really need to control is when I do it.
Yeah, I did that event a couple of, maybe...
Yeah, we did
two months ago. Yeah,
we did it.
Ago. There was one person who was there was saying, "Oh my God, I didn't realize that
I do these things.
I knew that I did it, but like, it's really bad. Yeah. I need to change. Yeah,
well, and the power is if a couple would have come up and do it suddenly. And once again, and I want to make sure we let everybody know. None of the events are accusatory. No, you don't have to say anything. We're not gonna make you admit to anything.
Yep.
All we're doing is we put information up, we talk about it. And if you learn something about yourself, we're not gonna, you know, make you stand up and say, "Oh, that's me."
Yeah,
you can just sit and learn and go, "Oh my goodness, I gotta stop this."
But it's kinda neat to 100%. See people's reactions. You know, sometimes like the head goes like, "Oh my God," you know, or the big smile or they're shaking their head.
That's the giveaways. They're like, that was me. Yeah.
And we get the joy of just seeing that happen. We get to see those light bulb moments all the time.
Because that's
constantly. Yeah. And it's so much fun for us to just have people have those moments, right?
Light bulb. Yeah.
Well, it validates the fact that it is needed. Yeah. What we're doing is actually needed.
Because it's actually bringing change.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you read the reviews, like we have the reviews on the website, you just read the reviews. And
they're all real.
Those are all real reviews. Yep. Those are all written by people who have come out to events. Yeah. It's just phenomenal. And I get it all the time now. People just say, "You're changing my life."
Like I had after the event that I did last week as part of the program, you know, one of the participants just texted me to say that, you know, it was really good and they enjoyed the event. And
that's the thing is the younger crowd, so the people who are there and committed, like they know, they understand. Yes. They're not going anywhere. It's just a matter of getting the other younger people to be like,
that's right.
Because freaking there's MLAs. I just realized this the other day, the MLMs of all the health body things. It's like, oh, we're going to, I don't know. I was annoyed because I just kept seeing all these posts of like, you know, structured posts that, you know, were all pre-written, but just changed a little bit so this person could then promote to the product. But they're not actually promoting mental health. They're just promoting
selling of mental health.
They're selling something.
It's not the same. So that's what we're competing with. Yeah. I just realized that the other day.
No, what we're competing against is
the falsification.
Really low level stuff.
Yes.
Like I had somebody on from Los Angeles yesterday and she literally said, "Bruce, what you guys are doing is beyond what anybody else is doing for anywhere near this price level."
They're just selling affirmations. They're not actually selling the tools. We're selling the tools.
Yeah, we're digging deep.
They're giving you stickers to put on your toolbox, but they're not actually filling it up.
And that's a good analogy.
And that's the difficulty, which I think with everything, right? It's the same thing with exercise, same thing with nutrition, right? And people want the quick fix.
That's not
gonna
happen.
That it's going to be a quick fix and makes you feel good for 2 seconds, and then you're like, okay, so what did I learn? What do I do? I don't have the tools, and that's really a problem.
All right, is that all of them?
No, we got three more.
All right,
narcissism and borderline. People get confused by this one. That's a big one. It's a tough one in the series. It's about, we talk about narcissism all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't tell you how many
narcissists exist.
Narcissists theoretically exist because every woman I've met in the last 10 years has dated a narcissist.
Yeah.
And that's physically impossible because there's not that many narcissists out there.
Well, and that's the thing with narcissism, because we all have a little bit of the trait.
We're all supposed to have a little bit of narcissism
because of our ego. Yeah. We need to, but it's what is a true narcissist, right? Yeah. If you're looking at what the definition is.
You can have an inflated ego, which makes me be a little bit more narcissistic in some ways, but that doesn't mean you're a narcissist.
Yeah. So
and we want narcissism. Yeah. An amount of narcissism is important.
But and, we explain what it is and the different kinds. But,
and also, there's the obvious narcissist.
Mm-hmm. The classic, the one that we all know.
The classic narcissist, the big blowhard, that is the least dangerous narcissist.
Because it's in your face.
Because we can see them.
That's right. It's very obvious.
It's
when
the other three narcissists that are the problem.
Malignant.
Well, we don't go into them. They're covert narcissism.
There's the vulnerable narcissist. There's different types. So we go
and
into
we got to go each narcissist so you can go. And most people go, oh, crap, I do that.
Or it's like, oh shit, that's what that was. Yeah.
I didn't recognize that my partner was a narcissist because it's not a classic narcissist.
Yeah, it's a different version.
And then with borderline,
another big important one.
And we picked these two simply because these ones are they're behavioral disorders.
Yes,
they're not, and they're not treated with drugs.
No, they can be treated just through what we're doing here, essentially.
Yeah,
and that's why we've chosen these two. Yeah. And also, borderline is one that's not recognized.
It's getting more recognition now, but
It's often misdiagnosed as bipolar. It's often borderline is a dangerous one. And once again, it may not be you, but there could be somebody in your life.
Yep.
And this one, that could be life-saving. Yeah. Somebody can recognize, oh, they've got borderline tendencies.
Because you see the mood swings and you're trying to understand.
And you have to understand that borderline is different than bipolar.
Yes.
And if we can understand that, first of all, and if anybody's listening, If you've been in a relationship with somebody that was the nicest person on earth, they're just such nice people, but the drama just is endless, then that's the sign of borderline tendencies, and now you got to look into it. Mm-hmm. And if the person can realize that they're a borderline, and a lot of people, when they get the borderline diagnosis, they're actually relieved.
Right.
Because they understand, now I know what's going on, I can start changing it.
Yep.
Whereas a borderline can go through life, just the self-love is out the window. They just beat themselves up constantly.
Yep.
And so that's why we go through to help people understand that.
Very detrimental because there's a lot of suicidal tendencies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to take it seriously.
Seriously, yeah.
100%. So that was just about identifying it in your family members, in your relatives, in your...
Maybe in
especially
yourself.
The young people, because this one affects the younger
people. As
you get older, you kind of grow out of the tendencies.
Right, No, that's what I was going to say. I feel like there's a lot more people with BPD in the younger age group.
Yes.
Yes.
And once again, this is not counseling. All we're doing is giving you the awareness of the information
and then
so that you can
start.
Now you can go look for it. You can go and understand it.
They do like dialect.
But let's give you the information so that you know what to look for.
Right. The next one?
Victim triangle. So we've been through
that one.
This is the
drama triangle, victim drama persecuted rescuer.
And then destination addiction.
We kind of talked about that too.
Yeah.
Which one is this one?
This is spot the enemy. And these are all problems of behavioral patterns in relationships.
In relationships that would cause problems.
Destination addiction. I'm always looking ahead. I'm not being happy now.
That's right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So those six, everybody is a powerful group.
It is.
When you look at
it.
And they're all powerful. That's what we say that about
it. So we have 12 programs, but we were just showcasing
nine.
Well, we got nine in the regular series.
Right.
And the other three... Let's go with family values first.
Yeah.
That one, we just got to get ready to go because we want parents with teenagers type of thing is the general idea behind it. And we will then go through communication and conflict and give you some of the basic stuff that we'll gear them differently to make sure the teenagers are involved. So we got communication, conflict. We'll have a special discover your family values so that people will go, let's understand what our family values so that we can all kind of work live our lives towards those values, as long as we all agree. Let's come up with the family values. Right. No different than come up with core values.
That's right.
Right.
And then needs and expectations. Once again, we would gear it differently for needs and expectations of the kids and the parents. Like, what are the needs and the expectations of the parents? What are the needs and expectations of the kids? Let's get everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. Power of kindness.
Yeah, big one. Makes sense.
Be life-changing.
Kind to your family.
And yourself.
And yourself. Yeah, and yourself.
And gratitude.
Yes.
Yep. So it's great family. Be
grateful for what you have.
So those are kind of the series of the family one, just as the six, just to get everybody on the same page.
Yep.
Get everybody thinking. Next one is going to be the... I don't know what's going to happen with this. It's the great sex one. We have six sex events. Mm-hmm. And I'm always amazed that so many people are scared of the sex events.
No, yeah, they all are.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about it when we talked about the porn event.
I always get a drop off of people showing up because it's a sex event.
So that's why I want to make it a separate program. So the people coming out
are actually there for that.
Right, right. And then the reviews will hopefully get the other people out.
To encourage them. Sex doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah, we it's make not it scary at all.
We make it scary.
Well, no, we don't make it scary.
Well, life has...
ACP doesn't make it scary.
No. I just mean, like, we do. We choose to have a fear of it because of the conditioning we've received from society. And so on,
if you want a connected relationship, once again, authenticity, transparency... Like, if you can't be authentic and transparent, then you're not going to get the intimate connection in your relationship. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing, is sex is mental. So really, we're not talking a lot about, like, sex per se. Like, we're not being oh, you need to do this position this way, a lot of that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how to develop the mental aspect so that you can communicate, you can, like, have the vulnerability, you can be intimate. Like, we're fostering the mental and emotional connection with the
sexual connections first, and then increase your sexual IQ. Mm-hmm. Once again, let's understand what all this stuff is, because we fear what we don't understand.
Exactly.
And once we understand something, we're not so scared. That's right. It's not so...
It's easy to...
It's easy to go, now I understand.
We don't learn biology classes and take care of
Then we go to what is foreplay, and now you've done that. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's life-changing.
Just for... And the whole idea is everybody thinks foreplay is, you know, that half hour before sex or 20 minutes.
No,
foreplay is a long-term version of...
They will have to come to me. It's a really fun one to do, actually.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah.
What we want in bed. Yeah. Caitlin, you just did that one.
Yep. Also powerful.
Yeah. And people go, what we want in bed. And once again, it's not positions. It's not... What we want in bed is an emotional connection, and
we
explain
that?
why it is and what we're doing.
And how different it is.
Right? Yeah. And how all the miscommunications can happen.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. And Great Sex, the Three Keys is the next one.
Yep.
Once again, the three keys to great sex. Once again, everybody goes, oh, no.
No, that's not,
not what you think it is. This is now all in the head. Yeah.
Just think, if my father and I can discuss all of these topics, do you think it's going to be weird or like... awkward or like, do you know what I mean? Like we can have the discussions it's
common
deeper.
Sense based.
Yeah, it's common sense. It's deeper than just like,
it's not titillation.
No,
let's understand this so that we can do it.
Yeah.
We should all be able to have a conversation. Exactly. Sex is a part of society.
That's right.
And then the impact of porn is the last one.
Yeah. Yes.
And we've talked about that a lot. So oh, one more program is the final one.
That's a really good one that I think it's
going to be
impactful.
That might be the breakout program, honestly.
Exposing grief.
Exposing grief, yeah. Because everybody's been through it. We're all hiding it. We're all carrying it around. And the biggest problem, and this is what I understood when I went through it, and then try to get help is maybe the wrong word, but I went and got some help, and it was... How is this going to help me? This is not going to help me. Yeah. Like, how is this going to... This isn't making any sense.
Yeah.
And everybody goes through the five stages of grief, and they talk about it a lot. Oh, the five stages of grief. Okay, but you're not really understanding that book does not apply to grief for somebody that you've lost. That's not the...
It was about...
The grief was she was dying and the stages she had to go through so that she could prepare to die.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's taken that five stages of grief and applied it to
what happens when somebody else dies.
Exactly.
Got it.
So that it's not relevant.
Right.
And then now it's somebody's turned into seven stages of grief. Same thing. It doesn't matter.
Well, it's like the forgiveness, right? Yeah. Like, you can't forgive someone if they haven't done something to you, right? Like, so
discovering and I've tested this event out, and it's just phenomenal what happens if we can go and dig down And most people don't understand grief, and they don't understand where it's coming from.
The effect it can have.
And I think an important point, too, is that it's not just about losing someone, like, in terms of your partner. It can be grief of, anything. You know, anything. You've lost a job. You've lost
relationship.
Maybe you moved. Lost a friend group.
A culture.
Or a culture.
You could move from one country to a different country.
You've lost a parent, right?
In terms of understanding the effects of what that change is going
to do. We've got to acknowledge the grief.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole program's about. The first one's discover the grief. And then we'll spend one event just going, okay, and I'll put all the scenarios out there. And we'll get you to understand what my grief is. And then it's understand the emotions is the second. We got to go start applying emotions to all of the different griefs.
Yes, because sometimes people, they don't realize that they have not grieved.
No.
Certain I have a question.
That happened in their,
so like,
in their life.
We just talked about what we want in bed. And we talked about how desire is... Not we consider desire to be an emotion, but that's actually not what we're thinking it is. It's actually more of like a bodily function. Like we need to eat. We need to. So desire comes from like we're available to have sex. That's what that is. Correct. Is grief kind of like that too? Because grief, I think we would also classify as an emotion. But the way you're saying it, it sounds like grief is actually okay. Well, we're required to grieve so we can move past something. And this is everything that kind of goes along.
Grief is
with
a process that we have to do for everything that has happened to us that we have taken in that emotional context.
Yes.
And we're carrying it around. We have to grieve everything. And it's clear as a bell.
Yeah. And if you don't, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt.
It's going to affect your
life. It's going to affect your life, right?
So you have to grieve.
And it could be 10 years later, you realize, oh my God, I didn't grieve. I didn't go through that process.
Right.
Right. Because I was not able to recognize that I needed to
grieve. And there's a name for that. There's a name for all of it. And once we recognize the names, we go,
That's my
scenario.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Okay, now I can grieve that. And you could have 200 different things going on that you're carrying around on your shoulders that you haven't grieved yet.
Right.
We're going to dig them out.
Right. Yeah, because then it can accumulate, right? Yeah. You have to grieve this, and then something else happened, and something else happened.
You have all this grief.
So the second one's understand the emotions.
Yeah.
Third one is recognize the impact. So we've got to take... You know, we've got our grief, we understand the emotions, how has it impacted me, and where?
What ways is it going to change, or has it changed?
Has it changed how I'm feeling, how I'm interacting, and how do I have to fix that? And then acknowledge the scars. Okay. A lot of people they think grief is something you're going to reach the end of. And then it's over. Mm-hmm. That's not what it is.
So it's kind of like growth. It's
understanding there's going to be scars there.
Yeah.
I ain't going to have to deal with them.
Yeah.
And it's a scar. It'll slowly heal over. It'll scab over. If you deal with it properly, it'll heal. Right. If you don't heal your wound, it's going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having open wounds all over your body from all the different grief you went through. Mm-hmm. And you're going, why does this hurt so much? And you this wound is open and this wound is open. And now we got stuff going on. We've got to heal the wounds. Understand there's going to be a scar there.
Yeah.
And the scar will fade, but it's still, it'll always be there. Right.
Then we got to go to the power of forgiveness. We've got to forgive others for things they've caused. We've got to forgive the world. We've got to forgive ourselves. And that's where forgiveness is in there.
Right.
Yeah. And then embrace my new normal.
Right.
And embrace it. Look forward to it. This is our chance to move forward.
That's right.
Yeah. Or else you get stuck.
Now we're going.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge everything. I've grieved it. I understand
you've learned the lessons, if there were lessons.
I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And now I can embrace this new normal and go, I'm ready to move forward, not forget anything. You're not losing anything. You're just saying, look it, I have to move forward. And I still have my scars. I understand what happened. But I'm ready to step forward.
Right.
So that's the grief one.
And that's so helpful because then you're not going to take that into your next, you know, into your relationship.
Yeah,
you know,
carrying
it doesn't matter what the grief was, but you exactly.
Well, we're carrying all this grief into our relationships. That's the problem.
And then it affects our relationships, and then we can never be happy, and so on and so forth. Yeah, guys.
And they're all linked together.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
If I'm carrying my grief, I'm never going to be happy.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's going to affect before I commit. It's going to screw up my communication.
That's right.
It's going to get in the drama.
To start over. Yeah.
They're all linked together. Everybody 100%. Says, why do you have so many? Because they're all linked. Everything links together. And once you see that puzzle, it's just a phenomenal thing to see and go, okay, yeah, that impacts this, well, and this impacts
you
that.
Know, it's like
if
the
I
body,
fix this,
yeah,
then that'll fix that over there, and this will fix this, and okay, now yeah, I'm starting to see what's going on.
You can
on.
Have a problem yep, in your spine, in your neck, and then yep, it affects your low back,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Because it's all connected.
Yep.
So if you can 100%. Think about that analogy.
Anyway,
that's good.
Yes,
so that I think we
it.
Hit the end of the program podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
And
so
that was a good.
Be
one.
Excited about programs. Yeah, it was good.
Yes,
lively conversation.
I think it's a great way to focus on one topic and yeah, to really delve into it yeah, more in details.
So now our next one is going to be on Spot the Enemy, right?
We're going to join the programs. There should be links on the website. We'll post links for stuff everywhere.
Post
so there's
time and
by the time
yeah,
this
by
comes
time
out,
you hear this, you'll have everything on the website yeah, under either hosts or programs, either one.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, we'll make sure you post that. Make sure you follow all of our pages, A Conscious Partner, ACP Dr. Giselle, and ACP Jaggy. Mm-hmm. And then we have a YouTube channel, which is going to be called A Conscious Partner. That's coming.
Yeah,
and then the podcast,
group.
Obviously, you're here. But if you would like to, please subscribe to the podcast and then give us like a review on the podcast as well, wherever you're using it would be great.
Unless you're not in a good mood, then don't leave a review.
Eh. Should be okay. Should be okay.
Make sure in a nice, relaxed environment.
Yeah, right?
Not triggering.
And share with friends if you can. Just here trying
yes,
to make the
share.
World a better place.
That's right.
Right.
Social change.
Check us out.
A little bit
Check us
fun.
Out.
We have a lot of fun. I think we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
People come out. This is not a boring.
No.
A boring old listen to this. We want interaction.
Yes.
We want sharing.
That's right.
We put real life scenarios out there.
The more perspectives we can access, the,
yeah,
the better
it can
is.
Be
yeah,
because now we have another perspective. Oh, we didn't think about it from
yeah,
that way. Okay, this is how
That's
that changes
right.
this. Right.
And we're,
yeah,
and we're,
well,
I'm saying, we're not there to teach. We're
no,
there to facilitate. We're there
That's
to
right,
make sure
Share
everybody can
the information
hear.
Right, that exists and like discover those yeah, core truths together.
We're not going to tell you how to live. We're
yeah,
just
no,
yeah,
giving
is,
the information. That's all
see,
we're doing.
And then pick what works for you.
Anyway, thank
cool,
you for coming
yes,
out.
Well,
thank
thanks,
you for listening.
Guys. Bye.
See you again next
goodbye,
time.
Goodbye.